If Black Friday is losing its charm, what does this mean for the wider economy? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A retail trade group did a survey of more than 4,000 consumers, and its projection is that there were fewer people out there shopping this last holiday, spending less money than last year. Drew Mattis is an economist at UBS Securities in New York. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
So I have the National Retail Federation here saying that Black Friday sales were down 11% year to year. That's for the four-day holiday. How big a deal is this drop, do you think?
You know, what's important to us is not whether or not there are sales on Black Friday, but economists care whether there are going to be sales. What really matters is how much consumers are willing to spend, not exactly when they spend it.
And you're thinking they're going to spend at some point here.
I think they're going to spend. I mean, I was at the gas pump this weekend, and I noticed a significant difference. And I think more and more people are going to be seeing that. And when they get that extra $10 or $20 in their pocket when they fill up, they're going to be looking at, you know, feeling a little more Christmassy.
Yet your pals, the market players who surround you, are somehow worried by these low crude prices. What's the argument to worry?
We have a shale revolution going on in the United States, and people are concerned that if oil prices drop too far, that investment in energy exploration, et cetera, will drop off. But it's important to bear in mind that, you know, the U.S. consumers is 70% of the U.S. economy, and energy exploration is about 7% of CapEx, which of itself is 10%. So you're talking about the investment side of the story being swamped by the consumer side of the story.
So interesting. Capital expenditures. Drew Mattis at UBS, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Amid ongoing tensions stemming from Ferguson, Missouri, President Obama holds a cabinet meeting today to review what some see as the militarization of U.S. police departments. The administration is reviewing federal programs that encourage local police to buy military-style equipment. Later today in Missouri, the 16 people who make up the Ferguson Commission will meet for the first time. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon has directed the group to explore systemic inequity in the state, ranging from law enforcement practices to education, housing, and jobs. The idea is for the commission to come up with strategies to make the region a fairer place for everyone to live. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Governor Nixon has appointed a mix of citizens to tackle some of the state's most intractable problems.
They include business owners and not-for-profit leaders, teachers and lawyers, police officers and community activists, pastors and public servants.
Along with some socioeconomic diversity, you've got 10 men, 6 women, 9 who are African-American, 7 who are white. Before any member even walks through the door, there are interpersonal gaps, though, that must be bridged, says Bob Staines.
There are these huge differences in experience that cause people to hear each other in different ways. And that often leads to either a lack of understanding or no understanding at all.
Staines is with the Public Conversation Project, which facilitates dialogue around difficult community problems. To avoid getting bogged down, Staines suggests members take a few minutes to talk about their experiences and their passion for this cause. In other words, before the commission gets rich and poor, black and white, to commit to social and economic justice, members must walk the walk. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Hackers who seem to know their way around Wall Street have been stealing company data about mergers and acquisitions. This according to Bloomberg News this morning, a report which cited computer security consultants. This could have been a bonanza for insider traders. The hacking evidence has been shared now with law enforcement. Focusing on just West Africa's Sierra Leone, Ebola has killed more than 1,000 people. This includes several doctors working there. But that's not stopping a 93-year-old retired ophthalmologist in rural Minnesota from heading to Sierra Leone in the coming weeks. The plan is for him to treat people for conditions other than Ebola, but he still risks exposure. From Minnesota Public Radio, Annie Baxter has quite a story here.
Lowell Guess is a mild-mannered 93-year-old with a perpetual smile who's quick to laugh at the possibility of his own death. When he travels to Sierra Leone on January 3rd, he won't be fretting about Ebola.
When you're at a certain age, you just keep your fingers crossed that you won't have a stroke or heart attack before January 3rd.
Guess and his wife, Ruth, a nurse, spent 2 decades in Sierra Leone as medical missionaries, raising their 6 kids there. After moving back to the Midwest in the 1970s, they still returned to Sierra Leone regularly. They'd help out at an eye hospital they established in Freetown, the capital. Even Sierra Leone's bloody civil war didn't keep Lowell Guess away. During one trip, rebel fighters were invading Freetown. It's another dangerous situation Guest just laughs off.
It continued after dark, and when bullets were flying around, I just went to bed.
Once in Sierra Leone, Guess won't be a frontline Ebola responder. But the virus is present in body fluids, including tears, so he could risk exposure when treating patients at the eye hospital. For Guess, it's a worthwhile risk.
Just being there with them, facing this terror every day, is encouraging because they feel abandoned.
Guess's wife died a few years ago. At 93, he'll travel about 36 hours to Sierra Leone by himself, and he'll bring roughly $100,000 in donated eye medicines and equipment with him. His adult children and grandchildren say there's no point in trying to keep him home. They've been through this before.
You know, it doesn't surprise me one bit.
His granddaughter, Debbie Guess Ristved, an eye doctor herself, just wishes she could go with him, as she did once before.
I'm excited for you, Grandpa. And I'm proud of you.
Well, they're hurting there. And if we can help a little bit, that will be nice.
Lowell Guest says if he does contract Ebola while in Sierra Leone, he won't seek treatment in the U.S., even if that means dying in his second home. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
I've asked Annie to keep in touch with Dr. Guest. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.